And so, just like my nostalgia for TNA, furthering my hatred for what it would become, we're back.
Live from Universal Soundstage 21 at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida.
Dude, this is such a good pick. We've got a good show today. We've also got a fun undercard.
So great show.
Let's get this ball rolling, baby. Let's ring this bell.
Yeah, that was deece. That was deece.
Bucky had a good joke when I was talking about drinking wine on Easter that I would end up doing the whole, let's ring this bell and shoot Braden in the face with a cork.
It's like the squeakiest.
It's been a while, guys.
It has.
It's been a while. It's been a minute. It's been a while.
When you hear the phrase, been a while.
Yeah, it's automatic. It's
been a while. Is it sustained, or is it,
I didn't know there was an or.
Yeah.
Isn't there another one?
There's really not.
I don't think there is.
I only ever think of stained.
Same. Okay, I'll find the other Been a While song.
You're more of a music guy than I am, but I'm
there's
pretty
the,
sure.
It's been a long time, or a long day. Dang it, that's the fucking Fast and Furious 7 song.
What's the one Stone Sour song?
The one?
I'm looking at you through the glass. Don't know how much time has passed.
Oh, no, that feels like river.
No one ever tells you that forever feels alone.
I'm not gonna lie, when you first started that, I it sounded like,
there are children standing there.
Oh, yes.
Arms are stretched into the sky.
James Blunt.
Oh, God.
That's a good James Blunt.
Face. He has been here.
That's actually really good.
Guys, I forgot. A fan talked to me about the podcast way back in Zawa.
Oh, shit.
Yes, he he's like, you can use the story for the podcast. And it was something to
you
do...
You should have automatically just told him, we're not gonna fucking do it, Ben.
Well, no, the bit's even better, because I do not remember it at all. He said, you can use this to make Connor mad, and I said, haha, perfect. But no, only I get to make fun of Connor. I am the one that has the jokes. I am the one that rage baits him. No one else.
I fucking love that even the fans of the podcast are going to such a degree to irritate and vex you now, Colin.
I was just about to say.
I had this conversation about rage baiting, actually, with somebody that ironically, I fucking hate rage baiting. It's just me and Connor's bit. Anyway, the reason
it's not a bit if you're just an ass.
It's to you.
I told Brayden
I loved him like 5 minutes ago. Leave me alone.
Cunt.
So, like, the point of rage baiting
can
to
I
me.
Can I say that word on this podcast?
You can say whatever you want.
What? Okay. Yeah.
Like, the point of rage baiting, like, somebody might, oh, I was just rage baiting, and they got, like, freaked out on me. It's like, oh, you were trying to piss someone off, and they got pissed off.
Yeah.
You got the reaction you solicited. So, no, you're the fucking moron.
You got rage, dumbass. You baited it, and you got it.
Exactly.
That's
I promise
like
you.
Going fishing and being mad that,
if you,
that fish bit the line.
Yeah. Like, if you rage bait me, I promise you, it's not going to be a good time for anybody. Like, at all. So stop.
Don't rage bait people who have a lot of rage.
Yeah.
It's just, it's,
an excuse at that point. Yeah, honestly, like, it's a fucking excuse.
I wanted to grab a hold of that flaming object, but I didn't want to get burned.
So I grabbed that flaming object.
Well, I wanted to grab the electric fence, but I didn't want to get shocked.
He, like, hurt my feelings.
I hate getting shocked by anything, honestly, but like electric fences especially. I have no pain tolerance for electricity. Like, none.
So if you played one of those like fun carnival like hand grabber things,
those instant,
no,
instant submission.
Those aren't shocks, they just vibrate extremely fast. Because they can't legally shock you without you signing some
really?
Form. Yeah. The ones you put just like dollars and quarters in, it just vibrates really fast.
I did not know that.
Yeah, because voltage?
Dude, it's a carnival. I just assumed we're all there risking our lives.
Yeah,
okay,
like...
Okay, actually, at a carnival,
it's the social contract, dude. Like, if you're playing games at a carnival, you deserve to die a little bit, you know?
Like, if I'm paying for tickets so I can ride the Gravitron. Safety is not my priority right now.
Yeah.
The Gravitron just brought back a wave of memories.
I feel like there's a lot of people who just heard that on this podcast and they all had that like slight sinking sensation in their stomach of, oh.
Yeah.
It suddenly became 98 degrees and smelled like fucking vomit.
Yeah, and with the boards sliding up.
Yeah.
And then some dude's fucking bold enough to be standing fully upright and I'm like, man.
You're going to jail.
Oh.
Like, I get that the physics are fine, but like, what if something just... stopped it like that.
The first time that I ever got on the Gravitron, I tried to see how high up the wall I could crawl. Oh, and man. I got to, like, I was, like, perpendicular, basically, above the tops of the seats. And then when they started to slow it down, I was like, wait, what? And I couldn't get my footing. I fucking fell.
Dude, I Spider-Man the shit out of that all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would always turn around and, like, climb up it.
So, do you guys remember, like, when your parents would, like, tell you something, and then you'd take it for a fact, right? Like, yes. You're in the car, can't keep that light on, it's illegal to drive with it.
First one I think of whenever you said that.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? My dad told me how carnival games don't actually shock you, they just vibrate really fast.
Yeah.
And I just Googled that.
Yeah.
It's an illegal light, apparently, because they definitely do fucking shock you.
Okay, so then going all the way back to the initial thing.
Dad, come on.
Come I wonder on. If this We're was an effort to get later. You zapped. Like
it yeah.
No, like if he told you this, it'd be like, oh no, it won't shock you, go for it. Do it. Just to see vibrates. What you would do.
Actually, that tracks.
Well, because electricity is scary. Guy. You know, if you don't know, like...
Yeah.
You know, you hear, oh, man, I might get electrocuted. No, it just vibrates.
Yeah, games like Lightning Reaction or Electric Chair involve players holding controllers or seated.
Yep. Calling it Electric Chair is a bit...
These games are generally marketed for adults and teenagers and can interfere with electrical devices such as pacemakers.
Well, yeah.
They should not be used with individuals with epilepsy, heart conditions, or similar likenesses.
Why are we reading disclaimers?
undercard stuff. I've got a lot. I will try to make this as brief as I can. Connor was with me for one of them, though. We saw Faces of Death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good film.
I thought it was good. Good approaching very good.
Good schlocky, just... It's a slasher, I guess.
It's kind of hard to describe, which is weird because it's a 90-minute Shudder film, so you wouldn't think there'd be that much to like.
Yeah, try to I like into. Seeing Shudder films in a theater.
I do too.
It adds a certain je ne sais quoi.
I want to root for an underdog, and when I perceive a company as an underdog, I'm like, I'm in. That's going to be a fucking theme for the day, by the way. I thought it was
Huge
fun.
Time, actually.
I thought it was a really fun movie. It's maybe the most meta thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's very like Scream in a lot of ways.
I also didn't know that there was an original movie until we were in the car on the way there.
Yeah.
Because I literally thought that Faces of Death was just that fucked up website from like the early aughts.
No, it was that movie first.
Right. Then it was the website. But then this is a remake of the movie that references the movie and the website.
Well, it's not so much a remake. It's more of a... just a usage of the title. It's the same...
It's a reboot of sorts.
It's a Space Oddity, David Bowie, and then Peter Schilling's Major Tom.
What?
Type connection. You know?
I have no clue.
Control.
What you just said.
Okay.
Well, my wrestling name should have been Major Tom, though.
It should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Major Tom.
Thank you, sir. I saw the AEW pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was really long. Yeah. That's pretty much all that I've got, I guess.
I saw, like, the first 7 matches of it or whatever.
Right.
Jesus.
Otherwise, the show would be way too long. However, I will say that I rewatched the opener, which was the Bucks against Takeshita and Okada, and it was good enough the first time I watched it that I said, gotta see that again.
Yeah.
The next night was like, gotta watch this and try to study it, and it's
excellent. Ooh.
There's some really good clips I saw of that match. I was like, that's some good stuff.
Specifically
the dropkick senton thing. I'm like, that's just...
Yeah.
That's figure shit that they're just doing.
They're just doing it.
Please. Like,
I know we're only 4 months into the year, but for me, that's tag match of the year that I've seen so far. Which is kind of sucks because I feel like tag wrestling should be hotter than it is.
Match of the year? Easily MJF versus Darby.
I mean, I could watch it.
From yesterday as this day of recording.
Yes. I could watch it 30 times in an hour.
Truly. Actually.
I'm not going to.
Without entrances.
I could. I watched most of Dynamite last night. Claudio, Yeah. Just forever, man. Like,
I hope he never retires.
Same. Because he doesn't feel like he moves any differently now than he did
in 2014.
Mm-hmm. In 2008.
And it's like only ever been prominently featured. He's only ever had that match.
Oh, I need to plug in my MacBook right now.
Oh, shit.
We're about to lose all this great content.
That's the one thing I didn't do when I was setting up, Connor.
Hashtag content. Content.
Content. Power plug. Power play.
Error.
I thought I had something else that I actually did.
We're good.
Watch, but now I can't remember.
Dakota and I have been diving into the WCW Vault YouTube channel live stream.
Yeah. It's kind of fun.
Because the live chat is part of the experience.
Oh, God.
To us as okay, well.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I bet it's like watching some shit on Baked, isn't it?
Yeah, it gets pretty stupid. It was more active when we started watching it. I don't know why. Like, the first night we watched it was like the most active I've ever seen it. But, yeah, we get into watching some of those. I don't know specifically what I watched. Because it's just kind of one thing after another. I can't remember what it was. But I did... There is one thing. There's this, like, some beatdown or match or something like that that's, like, in the middle of a feud between Ric Flair and Terry Funk.
Okay.
Wings.
And Terry Funk cuts this promo, and he says this insult to Ric Flair. And what he says is funny enough, but the way he says it is even better. He goes, "You banana nose, pig-eyed, evil, lying, cheating, banana nose bastard!" Like, he wanted to think of something before bastard, but couldn't think of anything else, so he went back to banana nose. So that pause is everything, dude. It is so funny.
Terry Funk is the greatest.
Yeah.
Wait, so that... was that?
Never hand that man a script. Just let him fucking go for it.
Yeah.
Was that, like, late era, like, 2000 WCW Flair and Funk? Or was that, like, really early?
I think it was later.
Okay, because I only ever remember them interacting... Terry Funk was, like, featured really prominently in 2000 WCW.
He was the captain of the hardcore division.
Yeah, the Old Age Outlaws.
The Old Age Outlaw.
That was an actual thing.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Steven, what have you seen lately?
I have been very big in the new season of Invincible. Connor, are you dad watching it right now?
I saw the first episode and realized I need to go back and watch the fucking third season again.
Yes, you fucking do. Man, so me and Hunter Holcraft, we definitely, like, every Wednesday, we kind of, like, you know, debrief on the episode. And, man, I'm going to let you watch the third season again. I want to talk about it freely, so freely on this podcast, because holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
Balls.
I need to
binge it. Thrag, that is all. That spoils nothing. Everybody knows that character. He is him.
Yeah.
He is him.
Have you read anything of the books?
No, so I'm super excited.
Okay.
So
I feel like I've been keeping up with the books for years now.
Keeping up with the Joneses?
Facebook pages with panels.
Yeah.
On them.
Yeah. You getting the whole thing?
No.
By that way, or... Okay,
gotcha. Just a bunch of panels.
Yeah.
Of shit.
Are they in order?
Not at all.
Yeah, right. I didn't think so.
So, I've been reading... So,
not at all.
Fun fact, the reason why I know so much about superheroes, just like a lot of us, I grew up poor.
Mm.
Couldn't afford comic books. So I wouldn't actually, like, read, like, the panels and stuff like that. I'd literally just go online and read, like, deep intel synopsises of every single origin. That was, like, my Saturday wake up. On my laptop, on my phone, just scrolling.
Wikipedia, just fucking reading that shit. Oh,
and that's literally how I know.
I've read so many fucking movies.
Fucking Invincible's been phenomenal. The new season of The Boys was even better. Like, Tom walked in halfway on me watching one of the, like, I think episode 2 of the new season of The Boys. And I didn't even try to, like, describe stuff to him, because I'm like, this is the very last season. Like, there's so much lore. It's going to take me longer than the episode itself to tell you how all these connect.
How we got here.
But no, the like Amazon's been firing all cylinders. Daredevil is also really fucking good. I haven't been able to watch movies lately. However, Tom, I don't know if you have a theater date scheduled for tonight with yourself. Hmm. However, after the podcast, you have this DVD. Close to Natural Born Killers. I was going to do Cat in the Hat.
We want to cover that for the podcast.
Yeah, I want to have time to watch that with the guys, and then that will be an instant Tom's Movie Classics ? Review.
I mean,
yeah, because we do need to do that at some point, because I
coming to Patreon.
If I'm not mistaken, you didn't know that movie existed till I told you about it, or
I think I knew, but I'd like just forgotten about it. Okay. Like I think I knew that there was a Cat in the Hat movie, but I didn't. Yeah. I'd forgotten that it was this. Right?
Dude, it is.
I have seen nothing of it. I don't remember the trailers.
Absolutely fucking hilarious.
I only
it's
know that
fucking
I,
dumb. And
dirty ho.
Was this the thing that like kind of tanked Mike Myers' career for
no.
a long time?
No, that would be Love Guru.
That's what it was. Okay,
I love
so,
Guru. Mariska Hargitay. Mariska Hargitay.
You're the only person I've ever heard in my life know that film.
Yeah, Love Guru.
I bet
yeah.
you also have strong opinions on You Don't Mess With the Zohan.
That movie.
Man, I can't believe you've seen it and you called it a classic.
My dad.
Classic as in it came out 20 fucking years ago.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
My dad. That's twice Joe's come up on this podcast.
That's unbelievable.
He fucking would quote that movie all the
time. Don't mess with his
eyes. Yes.
Classic. Yeah. Classic.
Oh, man. So the thing about me, like, I either
a
I
classic
love,
example of a movie being bad, maybe.
So I love Sorry, obviously I had that. Amazing cinema. I also love like you know decent movies, but bad movies, I fucking thrive off of bad like bad horror movies. I love them. They're my favorite genre. Is B horror flicks.
I feel the same way about like that's kind of how I view wrestling. But at the same time, like I'm with you in the sense where I'm like I want a movie that's either
two or below, eight above.
Yeah, two or below, eight or above.
Yep.
Like I can
put it on a T-shirt.
I can respect. Yes, please. I can respect the shit that's like in the middle, you know. And there's some gems in there sometimes.
A Gentleman's Five.
Like, absolutely. But like, otherwise, I'm like, no. I need either art or trash. There's nothing else.
High art or low art.
Or indie art. Support indie.
Yeah, big time.
We were actually just talking about that off pod. Actually, on pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, haven't really been watching too much. Been working,
do you got anything?
Working, and then working again.
I've been playing Marvel Rivals.
Oh! Yeah. Oh, shit. Actually, the episode won't even come out yet. I gotta post it on my story. But my sister, my baby sister, this weekend is delivering her own TED Talk. Not like a kind of TED Talk.
I thought
talk.
You were gonna say baby, and I was like, whoa, people can do that?
She's 26, but like, she's having her own TED Talks. Like, pop, pop. TEDx-sponsored event. Like,
that's kind of fucking bananas and bonkers are awesome.
This is the same girl that I had to order food for in restaurants. Now she's actually talking in front of like
that's crazy.
People. Dude, cool. She's incredible. She's the smartest person I know, the smartest person in our family, that's for sure. I'm the strongest and prettiest, obviously. But, like, I cannot be more proud of her.
Well, that is good.
Yeah.
And that's a good closing of the undercard.
Love you, Kate. Anyway.
It's main event time.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
What are we even doing today?
Was this your pick or your suggestion? Because we always talk about how we select the shit that we're covering.
You told me to pick something short, and then I gave you something that was 2 hours long.
Yes.
Couldn't decide if that was too long, so then I gave you something an hour long, and then I gave you something 44 minutes long. And then I gave you something 2 minutes long, but I don't think anyone watched that.
I tried.
Oh, I didn't realize.
So let us know. Do you want to
I only watched the one that we picked. I didn't even look at what the...
You didn't watch the Boogie Bass commercial?
No, I'm sorry.
I did. And I was like, there's another 50-minute video after this. Is that what this is? What is that? I
was, no, it was
yeah,
just
the
Boogie
Bass
commercial.
Yeah, I watched the Boogie Bass commercial.
No, it was just the Boogie Bass commercial.
No, so the hour episode... suggest we might end up doing all of them too, by the way, but like everyone's had a really busy week. We just needed something where it's like, all right,
we had a busy couple of weeks. We haven't recorded the past couple of weeks.
That's actually true, because it has been a busy couple of weeks. But
so that's why this episode is being uploaded the second I get home.
This is coming to you straight out of the oven, folks.
Yeah.
Don't burn your fucking fingers.
Hot app.
And
hot
with pod. It, we will actually update the Instagram page. That's right, we have Instagram.
Follow it.
Follow.
What? How are you already on a second?
Third.
I too. Guys.
We're podding.
We are covering.
These beer drinkers, let me tell you.
Bastards. We are covering the
Raspberry Lemonade.
This is technically the first ever episode of Impact.
Yes.
From their first TV deal on Fox Sports Net.
Which I thought we had done already.
No.
We did the first episode on their move to Spike TV.
Mm-hmm.
In a premium.
What year was that?
That would have been 2005. Five?
I think so. Because this is. The Fox Sports Net thing, I think, lasts about a year.
Yeah.
And then 05. Is Spike TV starting?
Because I knew the Spike TV deal was real early, relatively speaking. So that's why I thought that was their first TV deal. So I thought it was their first episode of Impact.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that there was this.
Yeah.
A lovely treat.
As was brought up in the pod chat, the confusion is easy. As TNA has just been rebooted, restarted, rehashed, relocated.
There have been like six first episodes of Impact.
Yeah.
Redefined.
TNA, NWA.
We gotta find the first episode of it being Global Force Wrestling.
Oh my god, yeah.
What? I have wrestled for Global Force Wrestling before.
Yes. So have we.
Yeah.
Amazing. I love it.
I have not.
It's actually a pretty good time. Because
it might come back. You never know.
I'd argue Global Force Wrestling never left. But my favorite thing about watching this was it made me remember something. I wanted to bring this up for us to discuss before we get into the actual episode. The first time that you remember seeing TNA. Because I remember very clearly. I was at my dad's house, and I was scrolling through the Dish Network guide, and I saw on pay-per-view... And it just said total nonstop action wrestling. And this was back when, like, they would have a preview that would just be, like, three or four three-minute videos. And if it was a movie that was about to be available to purchase, like, it would be the trailer. And they would just play on a loop, right?
Yep.
And my first thought was, total nonstop action TNA, TNA wrestling. And my first thought was, oh, man, I bet this is some sort of, like,
softcore, fucking
big-titted lingerie fight club. I'll have a look at that. And I clicked on the preview thing, right? And then I see
Jamie
a six-sided... No, this was way before... This was even before the Fox Sports Net thing. This was when they were just doing, like, the weekly pay-per-views. So the first thing I see is a six-sided ring, and I go...
Well, then actually, Tom, if it was the pay-per-views, it would have been a four-sided ring.
Maybe it was around this time period then. But I know it was the first time I saw a six-sided ring because it blew my fucking mind. And then I remember they showed Abyss hitting the Black Hole Slam and bumping people and whatnot. Yeah. And my first thought was, oh man, they got a big Mankind.
Yeah, he does kind of look like that, doesn't he?
But like, that was the first time I remember seeing it.
Big...
It blew my mind. And it was like clips of like AJ doing the spiral tap and like Jeff Jarrett being prominently featured in these two or three video highlight packages for the company. But I was like, what the fuck is this?
WWE can manufacture all the shit they want, but they aren't going to get B-roll half as good as TNA X Division gives you.
Yeah, 100% agree. Like, but I got to ask, like, what was your guys' like first time that you ever, like, that you can remember, I guess, like, knowing that TNA even existed? Like, do you...
I don't have a specific memory that jumps out. To be honest with you, it might be through Brian and Vinny. And I'm not like that, weirdly enough, because Dakota was more tuned into that side of wrestling and that.
Right.
Like the Wrestling Observer type of stuff. That's who I know Brian and Vinny from, but like, I don't know. Because I think my first memory of actually, my earliest memories of watching TNA, they're already well into the four-sided ring.
Okay. So you didn't see any of the good shit.
No, I was watching WWE exclusively until Dreamwave, and then I was like, fuck the TV product. which I was like, I could still watch it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I just stopped.
My first... I didn't know it was TNA, but I remember I was leaving the house for something. I was coming up the stairs. The TV was on the living room. And I saw Jeff Hardy in a ring that was not WWE because it was a fucking eight-sided one or six-sided one.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? And it said TNA. And I was like, huh. I didn't know that there was other wrestling on TV other than WWE.
Right.
And then I left the house. So I was like, I don't know what TNA is.
Well, that's fun.
But now I love it. I've appreciated it. Yeah. And obviously, since I've realized what the fuck it was.
Right.
My friend introduced me to it. The most distinct first memory I have is, I think the video game was out at that point. Mm-hmm. So there's like, there's this guy called Suicide. That's badass.
Oh my god, Suicide is definitely one of the first things I saw of TNA.
Yeah.
That reminds me, a buddy of mine, when I was a kid, his name was Cole. He was big in TNA. Yeah. And like, we would have like, obviously, action figures and shit like that. And I'd have all the WWE ones. He had a Chris Sabin action figure.
Oh yeah, the and I was TNA like, figures.
Who is Chris Sabin? He's like, oh, he does the fuck. Cradle Shock,
yeah.
He's a tag team. And I'm like, I have no idea. So after that, that's when I learned a little bit more about him and Samoa Joe. So like, Joe and Sabin were the first two TNA guys that I knew.
Yeah.
And then obviously seeing AJ and at the time Austin Aries and all those guys. Like, I was like, holy shit, this is crazy.
It would have been not long after Joe went to TNA, but I remember him and Sabin had a singles match on the pay-per-view, and it was fucking stellar.
Yeah.
I remember Sabin gave him a running Liger bomb, and it was one of the most incredible feats of strength I had ever seen.
Yeah, that's real shit right there. I remember the guns being like the first things from TNA that really stuck with me. Like, holy shit, I didn't know you guys could like be that cool.
It might have been around like 04, early 05 when I found TNA, whenever I saw that fucking thing that I thought was just going to be hot chicks beating the shit out of each other. but like, there's just so much about this time period of it that I think is like fascinating. I know I learned through Deadlocked, they talked about how the company was paying like $30,000 a week for this show to be on Fox Sports Net because that was the only TV deal they could get, was to actually pay in for it. And that's how they were, because they were just so desperately trying to grow the company.
And it was on at like
crazy
10 p.m. or something like that. It was on at like a crazy late hour.
I only ever remember seeing part of one episode of this show, and I thought it might have been this one. I actually wrote it down at some point, so I wasn't sure. But I remember seeing one episode of the Fox Sports show when I lived in Charleston. It was just randomly on one night. We were all out up late, and I was like, oh shit, wrestling, want to watch. And I remember the main event was Christopher Daniels versus Chris Sabin.
Yeah.
And they had the bar at the top of the watch or the countdown clock, and they actually made a big deal out of how this match is so important. I think it was a number one contenders match. But they were like, this match is so important that we're going to give them an extra 5 minutes tonight. So it was a 15-minute time limit main event. I thought that was the coolest shit ever at the time.
Yeah.
And I still kind of do.
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty sick.
I think my first exposure to TNA genuinely is action figures.
Yeah.
Specifically a Sanjay Dutt figure.
Yeah.
That had green pants. I knew nothing of TNA, so I was like, this guy's got green pants. I don't know what SD means, so I'm going to bump that. I had just learned about the Owen Hart tragedy. I was like, at the time, green is better than blue. I've since switched. I think blue is better than green. But at the time, I was like, green is better than blue. So I'm calling this motherfucker Green Grazer. That's how that happened.
So let's get into it then. This was June 4th of 2004.
Yeah.
I am 19 at the time of this event.
What month is this?
June. June 4th.
So I'm about to turn 4.
Yeah. God.
Why are you saying, oh God, you have hundreds of years on him?
Left.
Relax.
come on.
To go.
To go.
That's hell.
Tom is a Viltrumite. If you didn't know.
No, he's in the fucking Dark Tower, bro.
Yeah, over and over. I love this presentation of the show. Like, my yeah, biggest dude. Takeaway from this show is honestly not much about the matches, but, like, the vibe, the branding. I hate saying it like that, but, like, that was what I was, like, noticing the
they
most.
They had really good branding, and if I am going to do a sports-based television product, hey, guess what I'm stealing? A lot of this.
This was, like, it was so much more sports-based than I ever think of TNA being. I only ever think of, like, the X Division being that and everything else being complete fucking insanity.
This was kind of awesome off the rip.
I love this.
The intro video makes me really sad for the modern world, I wrote down. Jesus, not just modern wrestling. The modern world. Why couldn't wrestling be as popular as sports entertainment? That's what I wrote.
Yeah. Like, it's also crazy because even at this stage, they were still being viewed as, like, a pretty viable, like, option or rival or whatever to the Fed, which was just not even... They were so far behind that. You know, like, they weren't going to catch up. Like, they're paying $30,000 a week for this show that's going to air at 1:30 a.m. on a fucking Tuesday somewhere, like...
This Tuesday in Texas.
Can I get a Tuesday?
Opening match. Team Canada.
Mm-hmm. First of all, hold on. They play an intro video.
Yes.
With their theme song. And then they're like, welcome to TNA Impact. And then they play another intro video. I was like, two intros on an hour-long show, that's bold.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
If you want to know one thing about TNA, especially early TNA... They love a package, and they love talking about a package.
Dude,
they will mention the video package that just played, they'll mention it before and then coming out of.
There's more of that on this show.
It made me remember this, because, like, I've gone on so many, like, early, like, specifically 2004 TNA binges,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like at this time, like, there's something so charming about watching a television product, like, gain its footing.
Yeah.
Because the thing I noticed about this is the camera, like, the production people have no fucking idea what's going on.
No.
At any time. Yeah.
The director doesn't.
There's also, like, a lot of this where I'm like, I understand. This was 22-ish years ago. Like, we're coming up on 22 years ago, right? Technology was different. I understand. The graphics budget and whatnot for this, I'm like, guys... Is Borash doing this in his fucking basement? Like, it was PS1 level.
Yeah.
Like, but I loved it now because I was like, this is so charming. It is of its time. It doesn't feel overly produced, even though they're trying to make it overly produced.
And, like, it shows how much they are trying. Like, the difference of 3 years between the end of WCW and the begin and, like, where we are now mm-hmm. is, like... At least somebody is trying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And everyone on this show is going for it. So, like, we start with fucking Team Canada, and later on in the show they show this clip, but since Eric Young is coming on the screen, I want to talk about it now. There's a clip of Eric Young laying on a ladder at one point.
Oh, my God. In this multi-man ladder match thing?
Yeah. Can we just talk about that now? Because I just...
It's one of the craziest spots.
I just need it now.
I need it now because, holy fuck, I didn't think you could do that.
So the ladder is seesawed through the middle rope.
Yes.
And Eric Young is inside of the ring laying...
On the flared part of it.
Right. Belly down. And two other dudes pull it, or whatever, hit the ladder, pull it down, literally catapulting him. Like, trebuchet style, and he actually goes over the top rope, and then just eats hell.
And then just takes a flip bump to the fucking floor.
Yeah.
Like,
see,
what?
It's to the floor to me. Like, you know how much you gotta love this fucking business?
Yeah. Right.
Like,
TNA is for the boys. It's for the love of the game.
Yeah.
At this point, it's just... We want to be the fucking best, and I want to be better than you. Kind of how we talking about AJ and Joe.
Yeah.
Like, they just wanted to be the better wrestler.
Like, the fact that also that Eric Young did that bump, I've never seen anyone even try anything similar to it.
No, like, WrestleMania fucking 17, eat your heart out type bump.
And he's still working.
Yes.
Like, Eric Young, if nothing else, the longevity of the man.
Like, yeah. You can't kill him.
End of the world. Cockroaches.
He had an outdoor fishing show for a while.
He did.
Eric Young?
Yeah. I watched a couple episodes.
I wonder if... Was it any good?
For someone who doesn't give a shit about fishing,
yeah,
I quite enjoyed it. But I was also there for Eric Young. So it was kind of like a weird... He did like a bit... I don't even remember what the setup was, but like he had a cutaway that where he had like what looked like the G.I. Joe logo. Mm-hmm. And it and like the voiceover that said E.Y. Joe, and that I don't remember the setup. I never will, but that punchline is stuck in my head from the time I watched it to now. I'll never forget it.
What era of Eric Young is your favorite?
Because
you want to talk about guys fishermen. Who have
Eric Young. Okay,
yes. Santa's real Eric Young.
You know, let me look up.
Santa's coming, guys.
Okay, when is that fishing show?
Yeah, that's what I need to know.
I'm going
to
go with Don't Fire Eric, that was only done as a rib on Abyss, who Don't Fire Eric getting his crowd pop moments in during the double down.
Three seasons! Sorry, what? I didn't realize it.
He would have caught them all by then.
He would have caught them all.
Off the Hook Extreme Catches.
Bad name for a show, I gotta be honest, EY.
What's he going fishing for that's so extreme? Horses?
Sawfish. They're made of saws.
Made of saws.
Fucking...
Oh, okay, so July 30th, 2012 to August 11th, 2013. He goes quick, man. Three seasons and...
he filmed all of them
in one summer.
I was going to say, they filmed every moment of his life for one summer. He went fishing for 18 hours a day, every day, for 90 days. He literally just did shut up and fish.
Yeah.
They had enough material for another three seasons. They just canceled it.
That footage is just collecting dust somewhere. It's in the Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse from
the Wikipedia says that there's right there only two seasons. I don't know.
If you have the lost third season of Eric Young's fishing show on DVD, send it to us.
Please.
I want the fourth season, bro. the unseen season.
The legendary. So it's Team Canada, which is Eric Young, Bob Rude, and...
I'm sorry.
Pete
yes.
Williams.
This episode is called Marlin : Impossible.
What?
Marlin Impossible.
Yeah. What? It just sounds like a great movie I want to watch. Anyway.
I'm sorry. Who's the third guy on Team Canada?
Petey Williams.
Petey Williams. That's right. I couldn't. For some reason, I blacked out for a second. Now I remember.
The Maple Leaf Muscle.
Against the Team International of Amazing Red.
Yes.
Sanjay Dutt.
Yes.
And Hector Garza.
Yes.
Has Amazing Red ever not been good?
First name Amazing. Like, I feel like he came out of the womb like that, man.
We watched that one ROH from 02, and he was still amazing.
And he's still working now. Like,
it's like he's like, well, it is my name, so I kind of have to.
I kind of got to go bonkers.
Yeah.
What about everyone else in your family? Oh, Sucky Ass Red? Yeah, he sucks ass, man.
Sucky Ass Red.
The twin brothers, Amazing and Sucky Ass.
Their adopted brother, all right.
Hector
Garza
looks...
Responsible Red keeps me in check, though.
Hector Garza looks a third bigger than everyone else.
I have a problem with this match from the jump. Yeah. I said, okay. Team Canada, they're out here wearing their red johns.
Yeah.
And then out comes Sanjay Dutt, and I go, okay, cool.
Sanjay's here, right.
Great. And then out comes Red, and I go, well, okay, his name is Red.
You kind of got to.
Yeah. So, whatever. And then out comes Hector fucking Garza. And I said, Hector, I've seen you in yellow. I've seen you in blue.
Could have done that.
Could have done anything other than your red and silver and black gimmicks, which is exactly what Team Canada looks like.
Did, however, reignite my love for Scott D'Amore.
Scott D'Amore, that big load, is fantastic.
He's there.
And he's screaming into the camera, and I admired his dedication.
His shit on the entrance made me laugh so hard. He's just he's at some point just going, hoo, 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 like just having a fucking, like,
an episode.
Like, yeah. I somehow missed his entire presence. I
was he's great.
I was like, because I watched part of this on my lunch break. Yeah. I didn't need to, because I knew it was like,
this is a walk in the
park. But I was just like, I kind of want to start. I don't want to do anything else
on
my lunch break here. I'll start the show. So I watched it, and it took me a second to get it started up. And I think that was what happened. And I was like writing my notes for like the opening video package. I somehow missed Scott D'Amore being there, because I would have been more upset. I don't like him.
Scott D'Amore is great.
My first note on the match just says, this should be a ripper. And it kind of is. Fucking, the commentary on this show, by the way, like, we all love Mike Tenay.
Yeah.
We all love Don West, RIP.
Mm-hmm.
Great duo. They are carrying a lot because everything is exposition, because they're treating this as though
you have seen everything.
Like, we have this lore, this continuity, but this is a new audience.
Yeah.
Completely. So we have to tell you 2 years of backstory and what this even is, and we have 45 minutes and change to do it. Mike Tenay is speaking at, like, micro machine speeds at certain parts of the show. Like,
yeah.
It's great. As someone who has undiagnosed ADHD, them talking that fast is fucking incredible. I was able to obtain so much information.
They really go in on explaining the six-sided ring. And, like, amplifying the benefits of it and the differences of it. And I'm like, that's what this needs. That's what this should have always been. And then the fact that, like, the kayfabe shit makes it make so much fucking sense, it makes me even more pissed that they ever got rid of it.
Yeah. The whole bit about, like, the shorter ropes or whatever means more opportunities for high-flying maneuvers and yada-da-da-da-da. Like, yeah, Tenay explaining all of this.
He literally at one point says the six-sided ring favors more athletic wrestlers. And I'm like, that's what the whole fucking brand and everything is supposed to be. Why did you ever get rid of that shit?
Total? Non-stop.
I'll tell you why.
Action.
This show soured me on the six sides.
Really?
This episode.
Well, because they hadn't figured it out yet.
Bump it. Because they have the fucking thing set up to where, obviously, it's going to be easiest to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on hard cam, but you're also doing run spots this way, which is not visually pleasing at all. Rotate the fucking thing. Oh, but then the post will be in the way. Oh, well, the posts are in the way of the tag corners, so when you're doing fucking tag moves and you're filming it on hard cam, I can't see what's happening behind that.
I didn't notice it that way, but you make a good point. But
they figured out the production of it.
They got
later on.
I think that, like, the guys hadn't figured it out. Because there was even shit in this six-man tag where, like,
Eric Young is hitting the ropes at such an egregious angle.
It's... You've been in a six-sided ring, yeah?
Nope. Actually, I've never been in a six-sided ring.
What?
Nope.
Say what?
Never.
You?
Say what? I've been in, like, two different ones. Two
you,
or three.
You, Braden?
No.
I will say this. They are disorienting if you're having to, like, do a lot of running. Because there is just that, like, constant, what is the angle that I'm hitting these ropes? It does throw you off until you get used to it.
I hate the idea of it.
You guys ever wrestle on a 20 by 20?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hell.
I actually quite enjoy it.
No, fuck that.
It actually was kind of fun.
Ooh, can we do ring talk?
Yeah.
I mean, might as well.
I got a hot... This
hashtag ring talk.
As if this podcast isn't niche enough, this is going to, like, slice the audience down.
This should be a Patreon bonus, but we're giving it to you fucking free.
Bro.
Give us your fucking money.
Bro, Jesus. Bono, you boners.
I heard that you have to not give them an opportunity to say no.
No. Yeah, no. I got maybe this is a hot take for ring talk here. I prefer cables to actual ropes.
Yeah. It's easier for springboards, for sure.
It depends for me, because the rocket ropes were quite nice.
They were loose as shit.
Right, but there was those few times they were real nice. If they're tightened right, they're fucking...
That is my...
And you're on early.
That is my justification, is I prefer real ropes if it's a ring that is being maintained well and, like, the ropes stay tight the entire time. Otherwise, just give me cables.
Yeah, after thinking about it, I just want ropes. As long as they're good ropes, like, yeah.
There's a genuine bounce to rope that I quite enjoy.
Yes.
It's definitely, like,
I fly pleasant. Higher on ropes.
Yeah. Yeah. Fly like, really higher. Tightened ropes are so much more fun.
Yeah. My favorite ropes of any ring that I have ever been in were actually the, way back in the day, UWC had a really nice little ring. And I remember, I don't know how or why, but, like, it was cables, you know, whatever. But they were the tightest ones possible. Like, it felt like they barely fucking moved. So I was like, oh, fuck, I can springboard in this ring because I'm basically grabbing a hold of a
fence post.
A fence post and just hopping up onto it. Like, the running part...
No, fuck that.
Let's slow it down. Like, everything else, I was like, this is what I want this to be. Like...
Wolf, maybe you can back me up on this. I only ever got to have a little bit of what you could call a match in it. The Evolve ring.
Yes.
Was so fucking nice.
Well, yeah, it was a WWE ring.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, holy shit. Or just like shit.
A different mat. Dude. Or like a different canvas, I mean.
Man, it was so nice. The one time I got to bump in it during a seminar, and I got to like run the ropes and stuff.
Yeah.
It just, yeah. So, it was so sweet.
So I was signed with Evolve. I
don't know. I'm aware.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
You?
Yeah, huh. Me. Guy like me, absolutely signed.
Never heard.
I once watched
you definitely don't have a track jacket or anything.
I once watched I mean, I have a whole track WWE suit, WWE actually. Network.
Yes.
Yeah, I was the very first independent wrestling triple threat match on the WWE Network. Yes, that is very niche. No, I do not care.
And that finish...
So yeah, so...
Is so good.
Thank you. I actually put it together. Anyway,
stolen it several times.
Good. Everybody steals everything in wrestling. I don't give a fuck. But no, I remember when I was over... God, I sound like such an asshole.
Yeah.
When I was over in England, the Rev Pro ring, it's a 20 by 20. And it's so stiff. There's no give to it. Like, usually rings are made with, like, crossbeam. It's like a giant fucking...
Hashtag. Like the frame. If you looked at it from above.
Okay, yeah, sure. Hashtag.
You would have axes.
Yeah. Because
you would have, like, beams going this way and beams
it's
going
a number sign.
Sure.
Pound.
Pound sign, yes.
Do you know what the actual term for it is?
No,
I've
but you're
only
about
ever
to tell
heard it called a pound sign.
Octothorpe.
Yeah, so
I actually love that, like, and I'm never going to forget it, because I put it right
the metal bars.
My wrestling name should have been Wallace Octothorpe.
I'm going to put Octothorpe right next to ampersand in my brain.
Yeah.
Because I like the word ampersand.
Wallace Octothorpe and Grommet Ampersand.
So the Octothorpe of the fucking bars in the ring, they're 20 by 20. Picture actually like a post in the middle. And each section of the ring is just like a square.
Okay. So when I was there for Mega Slam, their new ring was that design.
Yes.
It was smaller. It was not a 20 by 20 at all. But it was
rough.
In essence, like a square made of four smaller squares.
Yes. So yeah. There is absolutely...
That ring was horrid.
Yeah. That has absolutely no ring. At one point in time, a dude was going to give me, I think it was like a T-bone off the top. And I remember when we were both up there, I was in the air going, why did I agree to this? I'm still falling. How can I think this? And then I hit. And so it was so fucking terrible that I got so callous to it when I came back to the States, because I was there for fucking like 3 months. Fucking come back to the States, every single ring was a goddamn cloud. Oh, it was so nice.
I fucking bet.
Oh, dude. It was like, this is what heaven feels like.
The best ring...
This is where Eddie Guerrero is bumping right now.
The best bumping ring I was ever in was... like, really early for me, and I remember the promoter swore up and down that it was an old WCW ring that he had bought after they folded. Can't confirm that that's true, can't confirm that that's a lie, but I will say it was an incredibly soft bump, and I could nip up in that ring.
Yeah.
And that ain't never happened
elsewhere. You kip sop.
You've nipped up before.
Nope.
With me?
You holding on to you.
I mean, it still counts technically.
I don't think...
No.
don't think it does at all.
Y'all, I'm trying to gas you up, dude.
Nope, don't need it.
Nope,
gas. You're the alternative down. Champion.
Gas him down. No, you're trying to gas him up. You're a gas head.
What's this look like? Testosterone?
I'm a gaslighter.
Dude, I got the 10-pound bag of protein from Rival Nutrition.
Yeah.
I have two of them upstairs.
They are so fucking big, dude.
And if you use code WOLF at rivalnutrition.com, you get 20% off.
Or Connor Hopkins.
I gotta get one of
WOLF
those.
Is just four letters.
I gotta get one of those deals. So anyways, back to the show.
thank you for joining our ring talk.
That was fun. I thought this match was really fucking fun. It's just a complete blitz. Yep. Sanjay does a fucking Dragon Rana at one point.
It's awesome.
They're just doing... I feel like they all have the same mindset of, like, guys.
It's our first time on TV. Yeah. We gotta go for it.
We have to actually try to kill each other.
We have to try harder.
And Eric Young hits the most picture-perfect version of his finish that he's ever hit in his entire life.
Wait, what was it?
The wheelbarrow neck breaker?
That's right. Okay, yeah.
And it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a code red that's perfect. There's a destroyer. And I was like, that was...
It's not the finish, but there's no pinfall attempt, so I'm fine.
Right. I literally was like, did you guys not know what you had with that even this early? Like,
dude.
Because that made Petey Williams, like...
The thing I noted right away is TNA knows how to do waterfalls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Hector Garza wins with one of the most perfect tornillos I've ever seen.
Yeah, see, one of the camera cut here made it almost impossible to see the turn. I thought he did a regular moonsault, and I had to watch it back, and I, like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They call it a tornillo. Mm-hmm. I was like... And I was like, yeah, he does the tornillo. But the camera cuts in the worst time.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. The fucking production. Like, they just don't have it.
This felt like... The show feels like it was made quickly.
Yeah. Like they got, like, late notice. Hey, this one's going to be on TV.
Right.
Like, oh, shit. Oh,
wait. And you know what? I really don't think
good news,
that's
bad news.
From the truth.
Good news, bad news. Good news, we're on Fox Sports Net. Hey, that's awesome. Yeah. Bad news. Fucking Tuesday.
Yeah. Fucking Tuesday.
It's Wednesday now.
Fucking Tuesday.
We gotta get...
That needs to be a t-shirt.
Where?
Fucking Tuesday. It's the new Monday.
We gotta plug in this very large, heavy router because it's 2004. We gotta get this shit done.
We gotta install microwave ovens.
We gotta... Custom kitchen delivery. Hey. Brandon just going, oh, shit. Oh, that's good stuff. They hype up the two-year anniversary month of TNA then, and they play a clip of Toby Keith hitting that sweet suplex.
The Keith Plex. And then he hits Keith O'Clock.
Jeff Jarrett is the greatest poster of all time. He goes up so motherfucking easy for Toby Keith.
Have you ever seen the Toby Keith Plex before?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. First impression, he's singing, we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Jeff Jarrett, the true American patriot and hero, shoves Toby Keith.
Right, yeah.
What do you think about the Keith Plex?
The Keith Plex.
It doesn't look like he was trying to lift a man, and he lifted him. He made Jeff Jarrett, because I know it was all him. Jeff Jarrett made Toby Keith look like Superman.
I always forget until I see this clip that Toby Keith was that big.
Yeah, he is pretty large.
Pretty fucking tall.
I mean,
but like,
these days, he's fucking
dead.
Yeah. Lost a lot of weight.
I'm like 12 feet taller than he is.
Lost a lot of weight.
God.
At this point, I want Jeff Jarrett to be paired with Jelly Roll. Then I would be hyped.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Let's do that.
I'd be interested.
And let
in
them
that.
Do a duet of With My Baby Tonight.
Jelly Roll does some horseshit
verse on it.
Yeah. this happens at Mania. Everyone forgets that Jarrett works for AEW until, like, the next day.
Jeff Jarrett collects a six-figure paycheck before anyone realizes. cashes that check before they even realize he doesn't work there. Because
didn't he technically get killed off or something like that in AEW?
I think so.
No. He's the winner of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Deathmatch Championship.
Oh, that's right.
In my mind, Jeff Jarrett is cashing this six-figure check at 11:15 p.m. in Vegas at a bodega somewhere.
11:15 in Vegas.
In my mind, people are
cash advance.
I only got till midnight. Otherwise, it's going to get flagged. Come on, man.
In my mind, Tony Khan goes up to Jeff Jarrett. You have to give that money back. I'm serious. I'm not going to sit back and take this fucking shit. And Jeff Jarrett's like, if you want that money back, too bad. I already spent it.
And then, struts up in the distance.
We're late to that in podcast world. He capped that off with the jokes. Right. Oh, man. That was perfection personified. That was fucking bravo. Bravo.
Oh my god.
I couldn't even be mad that Jarrett was all over this episode of television because he's just the GOAT.
And like, that to me made sense. Like, going back and rewatching this, I'm like, okay, as a show, you want to show how different you are from the WWF because there's no other fucking company anymore.
Yeah.
But you also, you gotta have some star power, you gotta have some names. Jarrett's not that far from being on TV.
So, like, if you had any knowledge that the pay-per-views were a thing...
Right.
Jarrett was only off TV for a summer.
Right. But, I mean, if you didn't have...
a year and a half.
I'm saying if you didn't have that knowledge. If somehow, some way, you stumbled onto this show, and you were also somehow a wrestling fan, you'd be like, oh shit, I remember Jeff Jarrett. Him and China hit each other with a bunch of stuff from a kitchen. Like,
with a toaster.
He was WCW champion, damn it.
He's the chosen one.
How's your stuff? God, fuck, man. I love the time limit shit.
It's great. I love the box. I love the Fox box.
Fox box kicks ass.
And I love the ticker at the bottom telling you the fucking story beats and stuff.
Like,
you can just tell people what's going on.
I literally wrote down at this point, because that's what's happening here as we gear up for the next match or whatever, I wrote down, maximizing minutes. This show is 45 minutes and change long, and it has probably 90 minutes worth of, like, story advancement, pro wrestling. I don't know how, it's like if you liked Mountain Dew, and then you went to a restaurant, you went to the back, and you unhooked the bag of the Mountain Dew syrup. And you just squeeze that into a cup, and you just drink that.
Yeah.
What a dream. there it is.
So our next matchup.
An all-time classic.
Yeah.
For those of you who love Catch as Catch Can.
A beautiful Matt classic here.
The technical sport. Shark Boy versus Abyss.
And it was beautiful.
I actually put laughing emojis after Abyss because I was like, Shark Boy, oh, he's going to have like a nice competitive match. And then when Abyss came out, I laughed.
I wrote down, I like Shark Boy's odds.
Yeah.
And I wrote down,
oh my
God, oh no!
my first note after Abyss comes out is, Shark Boy's got a good chance, I think.
Good.
So we're all on the same page here.
This is a prime Abyss.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I...
Yep.
Like, when we talk about this character, there's been so many different iterations, but, like, this is always the one where I'm like, this was it, man.
My only note on the actual match is, Abyss was really only ever a better Kane. Like, from the start.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, the whole time, he's just been a better Kane.
In every fucking way.
Even when he was a bitch.
Yeah, oh my god, Joseph Parks was a better storyline than Corporate Kane.
Yeah.
So even when he was in his suit, he was better.
Steven, I'd have a beer.
Yeah.
Dude.
I'd have one too, and put some booze in it.
He moves so well. He moves so well.
Put it in yourself.
So good, like.
Oh, my beanbag.
Good stuff.
Mine bean bag.
I actually thought, like, for a squash, this was, like, a really great squash.
Yeah, it was.
And I do think that there's a... that sounds like a bit, but, like, there's a way to do it and to not do it.
Squash is definitely on sale, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's at a good price.
Wait, look, that's what sale is. Right. That's what sale is.
Squash is on sale, but, like, the farmers are happy.
I've got a premium.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Right. No one's going broke. No one's going hungry. Yeah?
Yeah, soundproofing doesn't fix that.
Jesus.
Sorry, guys, I got a cough.
Yeah. It's weird. That cough sounds like a pizza box opening and closing.
Popeye is 75.
Actually, this is Lou's Arato. In the IV. Best pizza in the IV.
Did you think I was saying that was Popeye's?
No. This was Popeye.
He's first to the finish because he eats his spinach. He's Popeye the Sailor Mank.
I just wrote...
The Sailor Mank? Did you turn the red one on right
there? Every single time I look at you, Connor, that hat turns a little bit more to the right side.
And, yeah, it's crazy that you're
wearing... What's up with that?
Why is that hat red?
What's up with that? I wrote down, why Popeye?
Yeah, I was so confused.
I kept, like... They kept teasing me with this match because there were so many hit the ropes, duck this, miss this, whatever. I was like, there's a black hole slam. There it is. Oh, there it is. It was like watching an animal, like, just fucking kind of bait its prey a little bit.
Same.
It was awesome.
Because I knew this wasn't going to go long. It goes like a minute and change. But the whole time.
A minute 15.
Yeah, the whole time, you're right. Every time that, like... The moment that Shark Boy would run towards Abyss for any reason, I kept going, and then when he does finally get it, by the way, it's awesome.
It's
the Black Hole Slam is such an awesome fucking move.
16 minutes in, we've had two matches, a recap video, two intro videos. Imagine if the opening promo was not over. Or that it had not concluded yet.
Yeah. Both, perhaps. Like... Unbelievable.
You can just put wrestling on your wrestling show, and people will watch your wrestling show. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that you can do that?
Yeah.
You could just have wrestling with all of your wrestling.
You can also establish a character through a match.
Do you know you could do that?
Yeah. Like, I'm sure there were people who had never seen Abyss before who randomly saw this episode.
And then Goldilocks is watching just fucking...
They cram that in, too!
They're kind of implying that she's, like, fudding herself, maybe, to this match or
stupid.
Something.
Just it's fudding like, herself stupid. Like,
fudding?
Fudding. Yeah.
What are we doing?
There's a couple...
That's the name of the show, kind of.
Our next match, tag title match, on television... Kid Cash and Dallas.
Cash Mungus.
That's right. There's
dude, the okay, Cash Brothers. I was watching this with Jera, and she looks up from her phone at this point, which I'm like, yeah, I don't blame you. This is pretty niche wrestling stuff, whatever. And she goes, holy shit, is that just like two of the same guy?
They say on commentary at some point that Kid Cash has referred to Dallas as a family member but won't reveal how they're related. And I said,
father.
What possible sense could there be?
Twin.
That's how I'm going to describe you to everybody. Yeah, we're related. How?
That's best not to know.
We are. Anyway.
So it's the Cash Brothers... Kid and Mungus versus AMW. I didn't remember the Cash Bros being tag champs.
Me neither.
Oh, I never remember this being a thing. No, that's crazy.
Kid Cash and Dallas was an awesome pairing, but I don't ever remember them being tag champions.
Yeah, I know we've covered or I've seen some on like a Pluto Hour or in your college place.
Yeah.
That tandem before.
But I could not imagine them with the straps. Well, here it is.
I only ever.
It's kind of awesome. I love it when a tag team is literally just a guy and then a bigger version of that guy.
I only ever remember the big one being the heater for Kid Cash.
Yeah.
Doing like
Notorious K.I.D.
Yeah. Like The Miz and Alex Riley?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. That's why that worked.
Yeah. Say it to his face. So, I like this match.
Yeah.
But the first thing that I noted was this was so strange. Okay, so they go, America's Most Wanted, they go for this tag team maneuver. Mm. Braden Walker tags into the ring, puts his hand out.
Knock, knock.
To be whipped.
It's Braden Walker.
Okay. Okay, James Storm whips him.
Yeah.
And then he reverses it, and James Storm hits a splash.
Why?
Why? Why did you offer your hand out?
Hey, throw me into him. Nah, never mind, you do it.
Wait, I fucked up.
James Storm is like, the fuck's going on? I want to believe that grabs hands. James goes, we're on the same team.
Yeah.
AMW is a beast tag team, though.
They were great, yeah.
James Storm, great tag team guy.
I agree, yeah.
Always has been.
Yeah. I think that's his peak.
Remember when he had that, like, really weird one or two off in NXT?
I'm pretty sure it was, like, a one-off.
Was it just one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they wanted to give him AJ Styles music.
Right. Like, that music was written for James Storm. And then for whatever reason, that deal didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then AJ was coming in with, like, 2 or 3 weeks between Wrestle Kingdom and the Rumble. And they were just kind of like, oh, fuck, we got this song. Does that work for you?
Yeah, man.
I don't care.
I still get to wrestle, right? You know, he said that he wished he would have went through NXT before coming to the main roster.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I would have.
AJ would have been a demon in 2016 NXT, I'll just say that, though.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I would have loved that part of it, and I would have watched the shit out of it, but there still would have been a part of me that would have been like, he's going to the developmental, like.
He even said, like, he's like, for the first 6 months, he's like, I used to wrestle, but, like, it's completely different here. First 6 months, I had no idea what I was doing. Everybody kept telling me, like, how I was messing up, this, that, and the other. Having to change positions, cameras, stuff like that. He's like, I wish I would have went to NXT so I could have learned all this stuff.
That's bonkers.
For, he's like, for, like, 6 months, tops, and then, like, go.
Because I remember supposedly
he just wanted to be able to drive to the fucking shows probably for a couple of years.
He said anybody coming in should go through NXT, and I was like, whew.
Man, you should live in Gainesville, fucking Georgia, and you should go to NXT.
The game's dead. Wasn't there a rumor that, like,
it's
part of his...
We killed it.
Like,
they
deal for
it.
Going and signing was and not to go to NXT. Was that a thing?
Well,
am I thinking of somebody else?
Maybe, but hindsight's always 2020.
That's what I'm saying. Know. Like, I wonder if it's a shoulda, coulda.
Mad Dog's always 2020.
Yeah, dude.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So, during this heat...
Yes.
Kid Cash does a moonsalt off of Dallas.
It's so
while
awesome.
He's sitting on the top rope.
Beast.
Uh-huh. Awesome.
Yeah.
However, yeah, James Storm rolls out of the way, and Cash eats the fucking face bump. And I lost my mind. And Dallas sells this like, what the hell are you doing, Cash? He's like,
how did you fuck that up? How did you fuck up doing a backflip off my shoulder?
How didn't you telepathically keep him there? Like, I don't know. Anyway. Most 1985 hot tag of all time.
Can I tell you what I wrote down
about this hot tag? Dude, Braden Walker's good for that, brother.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what I wrote down about this hot tag? And I'm so glad that you caught it, too. I wrote down, Chris Harris really Braden Walker'd that hot tag. Because I was literally like, this gotta be hot. It was not at all.
I was blown away that they were giving it to him. I was like,
he was the hot tag guy.
No way,
man. He was the hot tag guy.
No way.
This got pretty good.
I feel like it was going to get very good, and yeah. then they kind of just ended it.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Ooh, in a weird way to me.
I thought that the pin happened with neither legal man. And then I realized, no, I fucked that up.
Hmm.
It was just some weird everyone is just here thing. Like, there was something about it that was really clunky.
I didn't catch it, to be perfectly honest. Hmm. But, Dallas, Salad misses the boot and hangs...
Watches, and begins a theme for the evening.
Yeah. Oh my god, I'm so glad someone else caught it. He hangs himself up on the top rope, yeah. nut-wise.
Nut-wise?
Nut-wise. Yeah, dude.
And then, I would say in the weakest way on the show. It's the weakest of the three I can think of.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. And then he just gets rolled up. He just loses.
Yeah. He gets nuts.
Nut-wise.
Nuts.
Himself style.
I don't hate a roll-up. It just did. I felt like it was unconvincing, anticlimactic, and we had not yet shifted into the final gear.
I agree. Something about it just kind of felt like they were like...
Especially with babyfaces up for a title change.
Yeah.
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 It just kind of ended.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they're building to a paper... Like a match at the Pape. Yeah.
At the Pape?
The Pape.
You know, I'll take that or PLE.
It's at the
I mean,
Pape.
Yeah, but.
Pape?
No, actually, no, I'll take PLE over Pape.
I'll take, yeah, at the Pape.
One syllable.
You can watch
Pape.
The Pape?
No, how about just fucking pay per view?
No, one syllable. Pay per
view.
I don't have time for those syllables.
Jesus Christ, it's not that hard.
Well, then I'll do a one syllable for PLE. What about this? You can watch the Preem?
Ew.
Yeah, it sounds like
more like
the intro to a fucking porno, dude.
You watch the Preem?
You watch that Preem?
You gonna get tickets to that Preem?
Sign up for the Preem.
She likes
I thought you were gonna
Preem.
Say
Preem.
Oh, God!
I thought about it, Preem. But Preem is a little bit...
Well...
Yeah, anyway.
What was the show of shoes after this match?
Preemie? Yeah.
When I saw those shoes, I was like, that's Dusty Rhodes, isn't it? I wrote it down.
They could
right.
have just had his initials on the boots. Like, it was pretty obvious the whole
yeah.
time.
And then Cowbell starts playing, and then someone says, oh, that looks like just a common man.
I like Cowbell is playing.
Yeah.
Bing, boop, boop.
Yeah.
Like the song.
So Mike Tenay intros Dusty
yeah.
as the judge?
Yeah.
Or the whatever?
Jury and executioner.
Yeah, he's something.
I'm not sure what that means.
Dead-in.
He comes out and cuts a promo. He says that Impact is heard... He says, what an impact. An impact heard around over 4,800 million countries around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for True City.
Is what he said.
Yeah.
It's...
And then...
Yeah.
I love that sometimes Dusty Rhodes will just stop saying words.
This promo is just him hyping that the show exists.
Yeah.
And he's talking about TNA, Daddy.
On the screen.
And he's talking about the history of the NWA and blah, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Jesus.
Well, you don't know. But then he gets interrupted by Jeff Jarrett. And
who
this...
take a drink every time Jeff Jarrett says Dusty during this promo.
Oh my god.
Dude.
He says it so many fucking times.
Pronouns, pal! Thank you. Like, he fucking... This felt like it was setting up a match between these two.
I think it happened.
It may have. And I kind of want to know. And I kind of want to see it. Then... Jeff Jarrett begins to beat the shit out of Dusty Rhodes. Then...
Well, first Dusty hits him with his hat.
No. Oh, yeah. There's a hat. Jeff's got the guitar.
That really popped me. I'm not gonna lie. Because I expected the elbow
yeah,
straight
right?
off the jump.
No, the hat.
The hat being first is way better. Like,
this is like a good level of him taking it seriously and not giving a fuck at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Dusty's like, I'm going to try for these people because they're paying me well. This company's going to fold in the next 9 days, baby. Like,
I'm gonna give you a show that you'll never forget, Dede, and then I'm gonna go to the next one that's gonna fold. I'm Krusty Rhodes.
Krusty.
So R-Truth comes out to save Dusty Rhodes, and then I just wrote down, "Oh, good, it's Three Live Crew."
Yeah.
And then they're there. I think R-Truth eats a guitar shot here.
Oh, yeah. R-Truth hits the second nut shot
on
the top rope.
Yeah.
And this one I would buy as a fucking finish. Count
life.
To 20.
Yeah.
He goes for the scissor kick and bounces 28 feet in the air.
Nuts first off the fucking rope, dude. It's incredible, actually.
Yeah, it was honestly really impressive because I'm sure it was probably fine and really controlled,
sure.
But it looked crazy.
So Road Dogg cuts sort of a promo.
Decent promo.
Yeah, it's okay. Setting up for this Wednesday's pay-per-view, Road Dogg versus Jeff Jarrett, and my only note on it just says, I don't care for Road Dogg.
BG
yeah.
James?
I'm just not my guy.
Yeah.
One of my best friends in high school was a big wrestling fan, and his favorite wrestler was Road Dogg, and I would scream at him for it.
Yeah, he just doesn't know ball.
He truly didn't. Brandon, you're not listening, but...
The D-O-double-G.
He just never was my dude. Like, I like the New Age Outlaws.
Well, if you don't like Road Dogg, I got two words for you.
Fuck
That's
you.
Okay.
Okay.
Billy Gunn actually had those two words.
It was more of a collective.
That was a good... The moment I fell into that trap, I was like, fuck!
Yeah, and then Braden had to ruin the bit by talking over me.
Damn it!
Sorry.
You don't have to apologize for being you.
Well, because you're such a Fed guy, usually. I thought that you were going to defend Road Dogg.
Yeah,
I just
I'm a Fed guy, but I'm
that.
Also a goddamn professional wrestler.
Okay, fair enough. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Come on. Fucking...
I love, like...
I just particularly hate Road Dogg. To be perfectly honest.
I would love to find, perhaps somewhere on the dark web, some of these Wednesday night pay-per-views.
Because I feel like that could be some good shit to
if
watch.
If only a guy maybe
knew somebody.
Knew where you could find them.
On the dark web?
Dark web.
Dark web. You gonna make it? My next note, I just wrote down, oh good, Russo.
Yeah,
he's taller than Shane Douglas.
Jump scare. Because they show him just coming out of a door.
Oh, that's right. Not at the same time. Yeah.
Russo jump scare is going to be a new thing in film. Someone's going to hear this and end up working for A24 and pioneer the Russo jump scare.
It was like...
The Russo scare.
He was also clean shaven, so it was extra like, what is happening? Who put a Vince Russo... deep fake on Tom Holland.
Oh my god. Wait, in 10 years, Tom Holland is going to do the Vince Russo. He's going to get really fucking out of shape and do the Vince Russo biopic.
Oh,
he's
you know
just
who
cashing
I thought?
The Spider-Man checks forever and
yeah.
decides, this is the thing.
Yeah.
This is what's
he
going to
get really
me.
Into late 90s.
Yeah.
Attitude era
yeah.
fucking.
You know who when we always said that Dennis Quaid, I think Dennis Quaid, is the one who we said could play Vince McMahon in a
Oh, box? Yeah, yeah, for sure. Especially off of...
You know who else could?
Hmm.
Sean Penn.
Yeah!
Sean Penn could play an older Vince, but he'd have to get on a lot of HGH to do it.
He doesn't have to take that suit off.
We can goose him up.
The neck.
Goose suit.
Yeah.
We'll goose
him. Suit.
Yeah.
It's an old circus term.
I then wrote down French fries and Russo.
Well, first they show X Division.
Ooh,
package.
That's what it was. X
and
Division video. It was awesome.
It was really, really good.
Yeah.
It was such a good, like, if I'm watching this for the first time, that's the world championship.
Yeah, that's the coolest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah. Like, the line that really stuck out to me is like, They literally say that the X Division is what sets us apart.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, this is... I love that.
Nah, dude. We gotta get in here and put some established guys in here, dude.
Yeah, we need
X Division,
brother.
It has no drawing power, brother.
Nope.
Goten's got something.
Oh, good eye. Good eye, brother.
I saw...
Donnie.
I saw a clip of Connor's arch rival Paul London recently on the Chris Van. Is it Villet or Villet? It's
Chris Vliet. Van
Vliet.
Vliet. I was Vliet. Off no matter like what one I said.
Paul London, like, Paul kicks the shit out of you, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that shit has to hurt.
Yeah, it does.
Like, how much?
Bad! I've talked about it extensively on this pod show.
But he
this pod show.
I saw this clip of this interview, and Paul London said that he had pitched an idea to win and retire, as he put it, very Shane Douglas-y style, the Cruiserweight title, and introduce a new title that would be based on, like, I think he said a 10-minute time limit would be mandatory, and it would be, like, just a way to accentuate faster-paced workers. And Chris is like, so basically you had an idea for an X Division title before it was a thing. And he's like, kind of, but, like, none of it ever happened, so it doesn't matter.
He basically had the idea for, like, the Speed Division and the X Division blended together.
Like, I think he referenced Canyon, because he was like, he wanted this division to be for people that were athletic and were basically doing cool shit, but weren't classified just by their size, because Canyon was a big fucking dude.
Right.
So he couldn't, you know, whatever. But yeah, that I did write down this fucking X Division video. So good.
So fucking good. And they just had all the fucking guys here, man.
Like,
and then also fucking Matt Bentley.
Well, then let's hang on. There's the quick video with the French fries and Russo. Where
what a package.
The question is, he goes, I've heard that there's a mystery opponent in this four-way main event tonight. Can you tell us who it is? Vince Russo starts by saying, yes, I can. Cuts promo and then says, but I'm not going to. You'll find out when everyone else does. Bro. So can you tell us who it is or not?
This segment accomplished nothing.
I agree.
It put over how much taller Vince Russo is than Shane Douglas.
That's correct.
I think they just wanted to get another familiar name face on the thing. Oh, you remember that guy who cut that promo on Hulk Hogan? Here he is. You don't recognize him because he fucking shaved, but
right.
He looks like your weird physical science teacher. Freshman year.
This is getting dark. So the main event, it's Chris Sabin versus Michael Shane, Connor's favorite. Elix Skipper and AJ Styles. And the crazy part is, about midway through me watching this, I had the thought where I was like, where the fuck is AJ? In the sense that I was like, the show as a first show on TV, I think, is like formatted well. It's structured well.
Yeah, it's really good.
Like, the branding is perfect. But midway through, I was like, if I'm the guy in charge, there's one dude that I'm making positive sure is on the fucking card, and it's AJ. Little did I know. Main event.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Mr. TNA, if there ever was one, you know?
When AJ gets 100%. In the ring, there's a bunch of people that are standing, like, far, like, towards hard cam side. And the hard cam catches a very zoomed-in shot of his face going, get out of the way, I'm just trying to pose. Or, like, I don't know exactly what he says, but he tells him to get out of the way, and it was very funny. And then, because he was very mad, and then he immediately goes to pose, and it's fine.
Dude, like, to your guys' point about, he's Mr. TNA, he's synonymous with the brand. We could almost do a different podcast that would be like what's the bottom of the barrel, right? Maybe that's the topic. What's the biggest mistake that TNA made? And I'm not saying it's the one.
Let me tell you something, brother. I think I know the mistake.
I think that that's going to be the general consensus. It's a race to the bottom. This might be something we should do. We should find a topic and be like, race to the bottom. And instead of championing and being like, no, this is better. What's worse?
I'll go further, because it's a butterfly effect. Bischoff.
Okay.
He was the initial problem.
He was patient zero.
Yeah.
But I say all this to say, seeing where he's put on this show, and how he's featured and whatnot, they let AJ go. You know, like...
Yeah.
They cut his pay. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what more do you want from a dude?
I just don't understand morally being like, you've been here for 10 plus years.
What about a
less
pay cut?
Money?
Yeah.
You've been here
stay
for
here,
all this
less money.
You've been here for all this time. You've only ever been good.
Yeah.
Like,
you've been our guy the entire time you've been here.
You have caused no controversy. You have caused no, you know what I mean? You're a happily married family man. Like, I just don't, I'm not saying it's the one.
Give that guy less money.
We might actually have to do race to the next to the bottom of the barrel if we did that for TNA, because I think we can all agree the Hogan thing is like,
yeah,
all you can get is second place. I like this match. This
yeah,
fun.
There's not a whole lot on this like to like specifically note.
It was just a good X Division highlight. You
yeah.
know, just, hey, everyone come out here and do your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, AJ gets the dropkick.
Michael Shane's also here.
He is definitely here.
So it's funny.
And he's
Michael
doing
Shane
it.
Pretended to try to not be related to Shawn Michaels, but in reality he's trying so hard to be Shawn Michaels.
Yes. He is. He wants everyone to know him as Shawn Michaels' cousin.
Yeah.
And that's the exact level of trying to get people to know.
Dude,
you know?
Tanae says it on commentary, which I thought was, like, wild at the time, because I'm like, your so-called competition, which at this point, this is not competition. Let's not go throwing around words,
yeah.
right? But,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
your other...
The other brand.
The other brand. Sean's... This is 2004. We're coming off Mania 20. So, like, he's still...
In the world title scene.
Like, not only is he there, but he's a top-tier fucking dude.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, but what about Michael Shane? Michael Shawn.
His character is
that he's... Yeah, that's the thing. He's got the tights.
Yeah.
That, like, they don't have the same design, but he's got tights. He's got long hair and a little bit of scruff. He's got a tattoo right fucking here. Mm. It's not the same one. It's not even similar, but, like, there's a lot of overlap here.
Yeah.
And you're trying, like...
I mean, if your cousin was Shawn Michaels and you became
a wrestler...
You're fucked.
You're fucked. You're fucked. You're just fucked. You either have to never reference it, that has to be the biggest secret in the fucking world, or you somehow have to be...
Michael Shane.
No,
you either have to be wildly different or... Wildly good.
And he ain't neither. Especially here. Like, he, you know, like...
Someone on a show once compared me to Michael Shane.
I would have... I would have
got
upset.
I became livid.
I would, yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
That's yeah, I would be quite...
I just asked, why would you say that about me?
His character... him just being the cousin.
Yeah.
If you just say, what is your character? I'm Shawn Michaels' cousin.
Yeah,
that to me,
like, you're not even a brother.
It just sounds like Timu Michaels. Like, that's
yeah.
Ugh, I'd rather be Jannetty's cousin.
That's interesting. There's
yeah.
something there.
Ugh,
Steve Boss
I could be
is a
better
Shawn Michaels knockoff.
AJ hits a springboard sunset flip.
Awesome!
Holy shit! Yeah. Up into the Styles Clash.
Beast
Fantastic.
Mode.
Fantastic.
AJ.
The
yeah.
fucking man. I would, like... One, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah.
Even if I could physically do it, I never would have thought of that. Because I wouldn't be like, yeah, I'm going to do the coolest thing ever into one of the most basic wrestling moves.
Yeah.
The springboard into the sunset flip alone was enough for me.
Springboard sunset, like... I will always pop for a well-executed and different sunset flip.
Yeah.
Devon Monroe has some of the craziest sunset flips you'll ever see.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
I would like
I love
to take
when
a look
some,
at that.
I love when you like
Top
compliment someone.
Flip.
I love when you compliment someone by saying they have a really good version of something really niche.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
A really, like, a good basic.
Yeah.
Like
the sunset flip.
Sunset
yeah,
flip's a good example. I always love Shawn Michaels' headlock takeovers.
Yeah.
Ooh, I have an example, but remind me of it off air.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
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 Intermission.
Yeah, so AJ wins. He gets X Division title shot at upcoming pay-per-view.
At the Pape.
At the Pape.
At the Pape.
Yeah, at the Preem. At the Pape Preem.
The pay preem? That sounds like prostitution.
Preem pape.
It's a premium.
That's premium live event. Prostitution slang.
Pretty good stuff. Guys, I love this.
This whole show was a 60-minute adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Total adrenaline rush. They said, adrenaline we need rush. To let them know what our name means.
This was pretty damn good off the
Unlike
jump.
Other places
this
where it's
This might
not
be the
exactly
best
that.
First if we count it.
Top to bottom, yeah. I would say that this is. Because the lows, for me, the lows on this show are like still kind of high.
Yeah.
So, one thing I can definitely say about like early TNA, no matter what iteration you talk about, right? It just really popped into my mind how, you know, their name is Total Nonstop Action. So they're going to give you, like, boom, 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 boom. Every show, they're going to go balls to the walls. Just the fucking best wrestling you've ever seen. Because that's in the name, right?
Yeah.
What other companies can you think of that can stand by their name like that? You know, a lot of people think that All Elite Wrestling, like, a lot of the wrestling is shit. So, like, okay, maybe it's not all, you know, Elite or, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment. Okay, they say they're a wrestling entertainment company, but there's barely any fucking wrestling. It's all entertainment. So, I feel that TNA is the only one that has consistently been total nonstop action.
Untrue.
When it's first iteration.
I would say to, like, stick to the idea of, like, the brand and, like, the product matches the name.
Yes.
ECW.
Okay, my bad. Yeah. I
forgot. Like, that's the only other one that I can come up with, right off the top of my head.
TNA at a certain point only became TNA in name because if you liked wrestling, don't watch their fucking weekly show. We've covered episodes of TNA on this pod that are 90% segment.
Well, I'm saying it's early TNA.
Yeah.
Early TNA.
No, they had it. They had it for like a good number. This is mid-04.
When they started getting fed guys in there, that's when it started, like, especially the guys that were like over the hill that they just let go.
I always maintain.
What you gotta do, you gotta slow it down.
Grab a hold. I will always maintain. I think that TNA got Sting. I think the companies that got Sting right, if I were to rank them, I actually think AEW got Sting right the best, based on like where he was in life and everything else. Where it's just like, hey man, you're a legend. You just pop in, you do party matches.
Jump
everybody
off
else,
of shit.
Whatever you want to do, Steve.
Dude, yeah,
gotcha.
Everybody else is gonna, you know,
work around you
to a degree.
We're going to give you a baller-ass retirement match.
Pretty fucking nuts. I think TNA got Sting right in second place.
Yeah.
Because they always kind of kept him protected. They let him reinvent himself. He did the Joker Sting thing.
He also, yeah, it felt like he was really allowed to just be the version of Sting he wanted to be.
His whole run there feels very like he's involved in it.
Yeah.
I go WCW after that in third place, which is fucked if you think about, you know, the history. Because I just feel like they would, like, get him right for a little while and then ruin him.
And then Ric Flair would turn on him.
Over and over.
And then obviously WWE is...
Distant.
You could have made any spooky gimmick guy Sting in that instance, and it would have been the same story.
His debut in the Fed, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's an all-timer debut. I know people bitch about, like, oh, Rollins and Ziggler are laying down for 7 consecutive minutes. I don't care. You remember this? It's the Survivor Series thing. It's the fucking...
Yeah, I remember the Survivor Series. I don't remember it being that long.
It's sincerely... It's like 7 minutes. Oh, like, they're selling some move. Sting comes in, does his whole entrance debut, bips people, bips Triple H, whatever, and pulls... like Dolph over Rollins, and it's like sincerely 7 or 8 minutes that they are just laying there. I do not care, because to me that moment and everything else is better and bigger.
I this is completely unrelated, but I rewatched, because I was watching the WWE YouTube channel, or The Vault, I can't remember which one. They have their live stream going of WrestleMania matches.
Yeah.
And so I was tuning into that to see what that was all about, and they're going random. It was crazy. Like, I tuned in one time, it was WrestleMania 9. But
9?
They were, yeah.
Woof.
They were then playing WrestleMania 40.
Yeah.
Cody versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, on a rewatch, that match blows.
Yeah, it's bad.
It blows chunks.
for that reason, mostly. Mm. They're laying down while entrance and bump right. after bump happens, to the point where, like, Cody is about to get up to take the rock bottom, presumably from the rock, until the gong hits. And then the next time you see Cody, he's laying right the fat back down!
Oh, my God. All right, let's wrap this bad boy up. I would recommend the show.
Yeah.
I would sincerely, highly, highly recommend this. I thought this was, like, it's fascinating to watch just for the passage of time. I thought that the matches were actually good.
Yeah.
This was fun for me.
And it's on YouTube for free. It's literally, I don't even think it's 45 minutes. I think it's 44 and a half minutes long.
You're probably right.
It's like, man, TNA had a vision, and I feel like all wrestling companies, if we were just allowed to keep that vision going uninterrupted by, you know, financial concerns and whatnot, yeah, like, wrestling would be such a better product on the whole.
I'll say this real quick, and then we'll get your guys' like closing thoughts on the show, but, like, it was just nice to watch something that made me remember what it was like to root for a company. Like, we used to go to Ring of Honor shows. We were rooting for that company. Like, I wanted Ring of Honor to, like, forever. You know what I mean?
To kill every other company.
Right. Like, and watching this episode of TNA, I was like, fuck, man, I was rooting for them for so long. Just because I was like, WCW's dead. ECW's dead. We need something else. Like, there can't just only be this thing.
Yeah.
And, like, it was just a good fucking trip of nostalgia. Really liked it. Yeah. Anyways, your guys' final thoughts?
That's pretty much it. I liked how this one felt shorter than even the short runtime in a good way.
Yeah.
Because it was nonstop action. I was like, oh, the X Division, probably some world title stuff. And then I was like, wait, no, the world title already happened. And then I was like, oh, the video's over. Holy shit, the episode's already over? Like, it was, like, that quick.
Yeah.
In a good way, though. It makes it a nice, easy watch. But you get so much out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Tim?
Yeah, I'd say that watching this reminded me kind of very much what made me fall in love with, like, the high-flying type style.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? Like, obviously I've talked about how much of a mark it was for Lucha Underground, right?
Yeah.
But this was way, way before that.
Oh, yeah.
And being exposed to wrestlers that were, like, on TV that I had no idea even existed in that atmosphere, in that ring, just, like, with that energy. In the Impact Zone!
Right.
Was so fucking cool. And I gotta say, I was always more of a TNA guy than Ring of Honor, obviously.
Yeah.
They both have great action, but just something about TNA, the electricity of it, like, what it was.
And it's also based on, like, what you see, what you experience, like, what you watch.
Exactly.
Like,
But when it comes to shows, the transition from TNA, this past Dreamwave show.
Yes.
One thing that I very much liked about it, not only was the anniversary of Dreamwave, this is the first time, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that each one of the podcast members were involved in individually different matches.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Which we will get into on the Dreamwave recap episode.
Yeah!
Boom, what a plug.
We will be recording right after this.
What?
Yeah, we will.
But I have to pee first.
Yeah, indeed.
We'll figure it out. You guys will get your recap.
Man, they don't know that. They don't know the report. Just let them think.
Okay.
Click the button. What are we even doing?